Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. This is our Q&A episode where you get to ask me financial questions, real estate related questions, and we attempt to answer them here on the show. We've got a couple of great questions today about HELOCs and financing and other things about real estate. So let's dive into it. But remember, you can always leave me a voicemail message just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Just go to the website, Morris Invest, that's our main website, and just go to /Clayton. That's how you'll be able to leave me a 30-second voicemail message. Try to keep it to about 30 seconds so we can answer more questions. Thank you so much. All right, our first question today comes from Mel.
Hi, Clayton. This is Mel from Concord, California. Love your podcast. My question is about HELOC. I have a primary home and I'm planning to refinance it in the next couple months to get an access to HELOC. Could you please explain how HELOC works if you were going to use it for real estate investing? And also, what is the best strategy to use this money to build my portfolio? I'm planning to get 50 units, single family or duplex, in the next 10 years to hit my freedom number. So if you can point me to the right direction to effectively use this money, I would really appreciate it. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, Mel. Really appreciate that. So home equity line of credit. Now, he said something there that he's going to refinance his house in order to get a home equity line of credit. That's not necessary to refinance your house and then get a home equity line of credit. You could, depending on what your interest rate is right now, and you're fine right now with where you're living and you've paid down enough of your property, you've got equity in your house, you can go get a home equity line of credit right now. You don't need to refinance it and then get a home equity line of credit. Remember, refinancing it, you're basically getting a new loan on your house. You're having to pay closing costs. And in some instances, you're not going to really be able to make up the amount you just spent on that refinance for like 1 to 2 years, because you're going to have to pay closing costs and points and other things like that. But now, if you've had that house for a long time and your interest rate is at 6%, or, you know, and you can get down to the 2.9% that we're seeing right now, great. But just make sure that the math adds up. As far as the home equity line of credit goes, I love the home equity line of credit. You know, you got to read my book. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. And one of the big strategies that we talk about in that book is using the HELOC. Now, it's a different financial product, right? It's just a different financial product than you have with your normal amortized mortgage on your house. They're giving you a line of credit. So let's say they give you $100,000 as a line of credit on your property. You start with a zero balance. You even in some cases get a checkbook and a debit card. And what you can do is you can start to use that home equity line of credit to make a down payment on a property. You know, I mean, like you could, you know, work with us and like one of our property down payments is going to be around that $30,000-$40,000 mark. So now you've got a down payment, you've got a cash flowing property from day one, and you're using that tenant's money to pay down that debt on that home equity line of credit. As long as your interest rate makes sense and you're, of course, you're profiting nicely from your return on investment and your return on investment is much higher than your interest rate, you have to make sure all the numbers make sense. But this is how you do it. I've used a home equity line of credit repeatedly to buy rental properties. In fact, it was one of the first few ways that my wife and I bought some of our very first rental properties is using a home equity line of credit. We had a mortgage that when we closed on that mortgage, they actually gave us a home equity line of credit as part of our mortgage. It was kind of like bundled in. And it was a great little add-on. I think it was like a $50,000 home equity line of credit. And then we were able to increase it over time because we were paying down our primary mortgage. So there's a couple of different ways that you can use it, Mel. I would say yes to buy rental real estate, but also think about utilizing it to pay down the remaining balance on your primary mortgage. Again, check out a link to my book. I'll have a link to my book how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. It'll be in the description below. I think it's a powerful tool that you can use to build your wealth. We've got a couple more questions I want to get to in a moment, but first I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our friends over at Woven. Look, we need calendars that work for our busy schedules. You know, you have Zoom calls all day, you've got important meetings that you need to take advantage of, and Woven is exactly that. It's links that work with your calendar to help you find the right time to meet without all of the back and forth. It brings all of your calendars in one place and powers them up with some awesome scheduling tools. I just love how this works. It syncs all of your calendars in one place, including your Google, your G Suite, your Microsoft 365 account, so you can see them all of your time right there in one dashboard, both professional and personal calendars, all right there. Woven builds scheduling links directly into your calendar, so you can use both one-off scheduling links and published scheduling links. You can even create group polls if you need to find the best time. Like, hey, 10 of you, what's the best time? How about Tuesday at 1, Wednesday at 6, Thursday at 5, and everyone votes on it and picks it. And then we all choose based on the poll, right? That's a fantastic way to do it instead of going back and forth and back and forth over email. You can quickly time block your week using Woven's smart templates so you can plan out your perfect week. Woven has also built-in analytics so you can easily calculate where you spend your time so you can make time for what matters most. I've started doing time blocking as a way of scheduling my week. You know, like on Monday, I'm going to shoot this video every Monday at this time, et cetera, et cetera. It's a perfect way to work with Woven. So check it out today. And I want to tell you how you can try it for free for 21 days for free. Go check it out right now. Go to morrisinvest.com/woven. morrisinvest.com/woven. Again, morrisinvest.com/woven. We thank them for their support. Go check it out. All right. Our next call comes from Ricky. Let's listen to Ricky's question.
Hi, Clayton. My question to you is, if I were to make an investment in a single family home that is cash flowing, how long after that first investment is completed can I realistically seek to make a second investment based on the equity from that first investment? Based on your experience, what time frame should I be looking at before I can seek to get into the second investment? Thank you.
Okay, so he buys an investment property that's already cash flowing. Now, the chances of you buying an investment property that's already cash flowing that has like a ton of equity in it is not going to happen. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. Like, I'll just give you an example, and I don't want to use like personal examples of our company, but that's what I know very well. And since that's what we do, is build new construction properties at Morris Invest and place a tenant in the property with the property management teams that we work with, and they're cash flowing from day one. So when you buy the property, it's already done and cash flowing. So let's just speak from that level. That property, even though we've had appraisals recently in the past few months coming in above the purchase price, which is great. That's our goal, right? We want to have a little bit of equity if we can. But you're getting a full service property that's been built from the ground up with a tenant in it already, cash flowing. Like, that's a pretty awesome thing that you're going to find. There's very little chance, Ricky, that you're going to find a property that is cash flowing with a good tenant, okay, that's going to be there for a long time, a good quality tenant, that you have a ton of equity in that house. Something's not going to be right there. That's not going to happen. Especially in this market right now where there's such a demand for properties. So I don't like getting inherited tenants. Like our team, we're placing tenants that we've screened that with our property management teams. They're screening them. They're doing the background checks, everything. After the final bit of drywall is done, after the granite countertops are placed, after the stainless steel appliances are placed in the property, only then is a tenant going in that's been screened, okay? It's very important because very often you might find like a tired landlord out there who wants to sell you his property, who mismanaged the property or never had a property management company, and they were personally dealing with the tenant on a regular basis. And like, oh, you know, Mildred's been living in this house for years. She's a good tenant. Here, Ricky, why don't you buy this property? Look, there's a lot of equity in it. Right. So there's probably going to be a lot of repairs and upkeep that you're going to have to do on that property. Is Mildred a really good tenant? Now that you take over, suddenly she's not paying rent. This happens all the time. So be very careful in that situation. But realistically, so let's just use again, like one of our examples again. So you buy like a new construction duplex, okay? And it's cash flowing over $3,000 a month. Your mortgage on it is, I don't know, $1,200 a month. Well, that person is, those tenants are paying down your equity or paying down your principal balance every year. You're building equity every year. How much, you know, how much do you need for an additional down payment? Can you build up about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in equity that you could pull that money out in the form of a refinance or from a home equity line of credit to invest? Sure, probably a few years, depending on how quickly they're paying it down. So again, interest rates are so low right now. The great thing is that you're able to get more bang for your buck. It's almost like free money right now. You'd be crazy not to take advantage of this free money that's in the system right now from these banks. So I would say at with a new construction property, okay, when you're closing on it, maybe you're getting a nice little bit of equity. I would say a few years that those tenants are paying down your principal balance consistently, where then you're able to take some of that equity out and invest it in a down payment, using that as a down payment for another property, realistically. So I would just say just using the tenant's money, cash flowing from the tenant, a few years. But be very careful if you're finding a property that with an inherited tenant and there's sort of a shady background on the property, has it been fully renovated, et cetera. So just take some of those things into account when you start on this journey. Okay, Ricky, thanks for your question. All right, we've got one more question. This one comes from Marlon.
Hello. I would like to know, my name is Marlon Williams. I'm from Houston, Texas. And I would like to get some more in-depth information on selling notes. I have around 42 notes, all around $40,000 to $50,000 each. And I would like to get in more in-depth information of how to sell those notes and where can I find folks that buy notes, simply because I want to take get in a cash position and take advantage of the market now and the market, the upcoming market within the next 12 to 18 months. So this is what I would like to know. If you can help me out, that would be great, greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Thanks, Marlon. I can't endorse any particular company. I've just heard some good things about some different ones over the years, and I'll mention at least one of them here, the Note Buyers Group. Okay, you can get basically cash offers for your notes. We worked with my wife and I, we've had a bunch of notes, and you're able literally simply by putting it out there on these different note buying websites, you're going to have people that'll jump on it. Now, I will tell you that the amount of notes that you have is beneficial to you. I personally didn't have many notes. I had a few, and they were smaller notes. And they typically want to buy bundles of notes. These are big guys, right? Billionaires that buy these notes up. It's not very often that you want to, that people just want to buy like a one-off note. What they want to do is they want to buy a lot of them. They want to buy just a bundle, or the amount of the note is important to them, because what they're doing is they're deploying this money for some hedge funds that want to buy these types of notes and positions. So the fact that you've got 50 is good. I would suggest trying to bundle them together in one sale. One person buys them, makes you an offer. And they're usually going to be really reasonable. We've had really good experiences with different note buyers that want to put these things together. Look, you can jump on LinkedIn is another option. Just go to LinkedIn and find people that buy notes. Just do a search in LinkedIn for note buyers and you'll find them. Reach out to them. And that's how you start your journey on that. You'll find note buyers businesses on LinkedIn. That's another great option. But notebuyersgroup.com is a good one to check out. Literally, just put in the amount you've got. They'll send you a quote. You'll get on the phone with some people. There's a bunch of different websites that can get you into this game. I can understand. I would be curious, Marlon, like what kind of an interest rate you're getting on some of these notes, because I know it gets sexy right now to think about getting rid of some of these consistently paying notes right now and jumping into things like Bitcoin or jumping into other things. Like for instance, like our properties are, you know, in that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% net return on investment. Like what are you getting with these notes? 3%, 4%? then I guess you'd want to upgrade. But if you're making like 10, 11, 12% right now in this market and you've got these stable investments, I just would caution you to be jumping like crazy into the stock market if that's something you're thinking about doing, because all of the data that I'm looking at the stock market right now is troubling, really troubling. So unless you're like a day trader that's got 10 computer screens in front of you and you know how to do millisecond trades on the stock market, please be careful of that. Stock market stuff stocks are way overinflated right now. There's incredible amounts of corporate debt that is sitting on a lot of these big businesses that are not paying down this debt, and they continue to take on more and more debt. So just be very, very careful about trading some of these good notes that you have for some faulty investments. Just be careful, my friend. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Now, remember, you can drop me a voicemail. I'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have, just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's me. Leave me a 30-second voicemail message, and I will try to answer it right here on the show. In the meantime, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.